You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We made it to a Friday, and I'm going to emphasize it's a meat Friday at that. If you're wondering what's on the Traeger grill today, we have pork tenderloin with apple jelly glaze, rosemary and thyme infused, mashed potatoes with cream.
I didn't hear beefcake on that menu, Dan.
Nope. Beefcake is walking in right now. Paulie paying up on a bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is why you want to have Peacock. You can download the app and you can watch for free. Paulie is dressed as Michael Phelps. Wears at least as close as he can to being Mike. No, don't come in here. No, Paulie's coming in. Yeah, all righty.
Let's start the show now.
Yeah. Who has it better than us?
No. Everybody today.
Paulie paying off his bet. He got his chest waxed, and he's got his Speedo on. He's got a swim cap on and goggles. It's either a great reason to have Peacock or a bad reason to have Peacock today. Come on in and stay a while if you'd like. And for those of you on radio listening, you're welcome. You don't have to be witness to this. But Rodney Harrison, former Patriot, former Tom Brady teammate, works for, of course, Football Night in America. He'll join us coming up. We'll talk to the author of the new book about the Patriots, Seth Wickersham. He'll join us coming up a little bit later on. We'll try to make sense of what's going to happen this weekend in baseball. Kevin Millar from the Major League Baseball Network will join us as well. Phone number 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. Say good morning to our radio partners around the country, numbering nearly 400 cities, and of course our streaming partner Peacock. Download the app for free at peacocktv.com. There's two ways you could look at last night's game between the Jags and Bengals. I told you I was looking forward to it. I thought there were a lot of storylines there, and of course interested in seeing both of these quarterbacks. You can talk about Joe Burrow, had poise, helped the Bengals come from behind and win, or as the media will do, they'll focus on the Jags, and the Jags have now blown second half leads 2 weeks in a row. How Urban Meyer looks miserable on the sidelines. And knowing how the media works, it's a pretty safe bet. The Jags losing and Urban suffering on the sidelines will be a juicier subject. Jacksonville did look good in the first half, but the Jags can't put together 60 minutes of consistent football. But that's what happens with teams that aren't very good. They're 0-4, and Urban Meyer is left searching for answers. Here was his reaction last night after the loss in Cincinnati.
Frustrating. How frustrating is that?
Because it's devastating. Heartbreaking. Usually I'm not wrong about stuff like that, that I just see a good team in there. I see good guys, good hearts. I see guys at work. And I told them I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong about that stuff. And this team's going to win some games.
Trevor Lawrence looked better last night. There are positive signs. The question is, will Urban Meyer have the patience to keep losing? And oh, by the way, Joe Burrow has poise. I thought he did a great job. He's aware. I mean, he's got a lot of confidence out there. Bengals played well in the second half. They're now 3-1 and gaining in confidence. They've been where Jacksonville's been before, but now Cincinnati, that franchise seems to be headed at least in the right direction. Temporarily. You know, this is a game you're supposed to win. Sometimes these games can get away from you. And I thought Jacksonville going for it, fourth and goal to end the first half, I would have gone for it. I mean, you're not a good team. Let's get a lead. Let's have Cincinnati be coming in knowing they have to make plays. You know, you got stopped short. It's easy to say, well, they should kick the field goal. I got Trevor Lawrence, and I'm down at the one-yard line. Let's try to punch it in. I had no problem with that whatsoever. You're up 21-0. You go into the locker room, you come out with confidence. It almost felt like they didn't get it. Therefore, it had an adverse effect on the Jags, even though they were up 14-0. It was strange. It was one of those moments where you go, man, we can put this game away. We can be up 21-0. We can have Cincinnati second-guessing what their strategy is going to be for the second half. And then you don't get it, and it almost felt like Cincinnati scored a touchdown. But Jags lose. This is how it sounded on the Jacksonville Jaguars radio network.
Huber gets it down. McPherson kicks it up. And the field goal is good. And the Bengals have beaten the Jaguars 24-21.
Boy, this one hurts.
They all hurt. 92.5 Jags Radio Network. Yeah. Yeah. They all hurt.
This one hurts, man.
Yeah.
Well, it's so funny, too, is that, like, and the Jags field goal goes up, and they went, oh, this one hurts. Like, they're on totally different vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. Todd has an Urban Meyer impersonation. And this is, once again, if you have Peacock, you're going to be able to see this. It's a visual here. And Todd is going to put on his Jacksonville Jaguars Tim Tebow T-shirt here. And so let me put you. Oh, he's got a headset that he's going to act like he's Urban on the sidelines. And here, if you're watching, is Todd Fritz, Urban Meyer impersonation. They just missed a field goal. Hand of the face, a little shaky, and the eyes. And
I don't know if it's winning us an Emmy, but it's definitely getting the Marconi for this one. That's no doubt about that.
Yep.
I'll tell you, Todd could make himself almost tear up and cry in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Look how upset he is.
He's like Daniel Day-Lewis of football.
Yes, he is, of coaches, or at least of Urban Meyer. You can see those losses, man. You know, it's coaches move right past a victory. It's the loss that stays with you. But, you know, with Urban expects to win. Trevor, I mean, they all expect to win, but with a coach, you expect to win. And I think there's positives there. I just didn't understand how that Jacksonville defense seemed exhausted in the second half, because Jacksonville's running the football in the first half, and I'm thinking Cincinnati's defense is going to be gassed in the second half. I do love what I see with Joe Burrow. I love poise. I love that he has this ability to, you know, you stay in the pocket. And, you know, Troy Aikman made a career out of this. You slide in the pocket, just little moves. You're in a box, and you're just trying to stay in there. Jacksonville has a couple of design runs for Trevor Lawrence. I know he's a good athlete. I don't want him carrying the ball 8 times. He's a big target. I don't want that. He's not Cam Newton, and you can't use him like that. He's not Lamar Jackson. But if you're going to use him, have him roll out, but I don't like those design run plays. You already have a good running back, but he's going to be running for his life because of that offensive line. I don't want designed runs, but, I mean, I'm nitpicking here with Jacksonville. I thought they played pretty well. I thought there were signs of, okay, you know, we have a pulse here. And then you start to look at the schedule. You know, I did this with the New York Giants yesterday. They could start out 0-10. Here's Jacksonville. Next up, they host Tennessee. Then they go to London to face the Dolphins. At Seattle, they host Buffalo. At Indianapolis, host San Francisco. And then they host Atlanta. Because after that, they're in Los Angeles to face the Rams. I mean, if you want to go even deeper, they've got Houston coming up. That's week 15. But, I mean, you could look at this team. They might be 1-9, 1-10. I don't know what the over-under is for this team, because we looked at the Texans as they were going to be the worst team, and the Texans aren't the worst team. But the over-under for Jacksonville is probably 4.5, maybe even 5. But with what we saw last night, you know, you played Cincinnati, and I think Cincinnati is a competitive team. I don't think they're a playoff team, but they are competitive. And you saw that last night. I think they have a better defense than people probably give them credit for. And I love watching Joe Burrow. Yes, McLovin.
Can I wet blanket the Bengals for a second?
Yes, you can.
They got lucky to beat the Jaguars at home.
Okay.
And they lost to Justin Fields and the Bears, who everyone thinks are the biggest disaster. So I wonder, I mean, Joe Burrow looked amazing, but he had 15 seconds in the pocket. The Jaguars' pass rush is like...
Oh, man. They have like 4 sacks in 4 games?
I think, yeah, they got up to... I think they might have gotten to 4.5 or 5 last night. They don't. They are so harmless to the quarterback.
They are user-friendly to the quarterback there. Yes, Seton.
I just like that when Andrew falls in love, he stays in love.
Yeah, this is all about Andy Dalton.
This is all Andy Dalton.
Yeah, yeah. I think
if Andy Dalton was the quarterback last night, it would have been a transformational win for the franchise.
I know. By the way, and it kills me to see Joe Burrow be so good.
Stop.
It just hurts.
You got to stop.
That's like when your ex is dating like a really amazing guy or something. Like that's
totally
Joe Burrow.
Traded up.
Yeah. It's like I'm the only person in America rooting against Joe Burrow, by the way, right now.
This program brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. You want to look like $1 million but only spend a handful of bucks? Upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor for noticeably smooth shave thanks to their 6 precision cut stainless steel blades. Paulie could have used this on his chest.
Oh, in lieu of waxing.
Yes. You can find the perfect shave at Dollar Shave Club in stores. Remember the listener who called in and he was breathlessly asking if he had missed Paulie being in a Speedo? Did I miss it yet?
Okay, good.
And I said, no, Paulie hasn't worn the Speedo yet. Okay, let me know when he wears the Speedo.
Hopefully he set his alarm early.
Whatever happened, guys, I didn't miss it, did I? okay, good.
Whew, a morning man candy.
I was hoping to miss it.
You wish you had my vision in my left eye?
Yes, yeah. Paulie goes, if you wear these swim goggles, you can't see. I go, I wish I had them on right now. Yes, Todd.
We're busting his chops, but he actually looked good. And I'm cuffed up
Easy.
Securing my masculinity to say, okay. I thought he looked good.
All right, okay.
Michael Phelps gave me 5 years to get in shape, but I couldn't pull it off.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, what kind of poll question you got for us, McLevin?
Well, there's lots of poles flying around on the side of the glass.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, there are.
And some questions about those poles.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, let's focus on the big game. You can watch only one, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers-Patriots.
Is it cold in the studio,
Easy.
Or is it just me?
No.
Easy.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Natural.
It's instantly cold.
Room temperature.
Brr, it's so cold. Ooh, it's cold.
Okay. If you can watch only one, the Bucs-Patriots, or I'll give you the three best games of Sunday and Monday. You get the Bucs-Patriots or the Panthers-Cowboys, Cardinals-Rams, which I know you love, and the Raiders-Chargers. So you get to basically watch the rest of the slate, or you can only watch Bucs-Pats.
I'm curious what the rating is going to be for this game. I mean, is this an all-time number? Because it's Sunday night, standalone game. Can you find that out, McLevin, of the, let's say since 2000, the highest rated games? Now, do we say non-Super Bowl, non-Thanksgiving games?
You have to say non-Super Bowl because those are the biggest.
Yeah, so take that out of the equation. Yeah, Paul.
I think you drop Thanksgiving because that's everyone watches because everyone's off.
Mm.
I think it's a regular season game.
I would watch the Buccaneers and the Patriots. I mean, this is a, we see this happen with players where they go back to the team that they used to play for, but this is different. This isn't Emmett Smith coming back to Dallas after playing for the Arizona Cardinals or Tony Dorsett doing. I mean, it's just not that way. This is big because Brady is still playing at a high level, team that just won the Super Bowl, and you're going back there. The new book comes out. There's drama. And how do the fans react? That's a question I have. How do New England fans react to this? When Tom Brady runs out, is there a standing ovation? It feels like there will be. It feels like those fans don't begrudge Tom at all. He's beloved. He won you 6 titles. Like, you have nothing to be angry about. He wanted the franchise to commit to him for 2 years, give him a Drew Brees deal, and it felt like he knew he was done in 2017. Yeah, Seton.
Patriots fans love Tom Brady. Love him. Absolutely get a standing ovation because now he's like the one that got away, you know?
Yeah.
You have that little piece of your heart or something. You're like, oh, look it. Man, we had such a great run. And then I'm more curious how people who aren't Patriots fans are going to watch the game and who are you rooting for? Because everybody hates Tom Brady. Everybody hates Bill Belichick and the Patriots. So if you have to pick a winner out of the two.
If you're not a Patriot fan, I'm curious. Well, even a Buccaneers fan, like, does this play on the West Coast in the Midwest? Do they care? I mean, it's got a storyline to it. Wait, you know what? We'll come back. I'll tell you what I'm rooting for, and I think it'll surprise you. We'll get to phone calls. Rodney Harrison will join us. By the way, Todd Fritz has Limerick greeting cards. Todd made 6 different Limerick greeting cards That means his and her birthdays, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's. And we also have a win or lose, we celebrate limerick card. Get your bundle of limericks and don't worry about buying greeting cards for an entire year. Go to danpatrick.com. Also, the limited edition tailgate package and also Penny's Bang Biscuits. There's a lot of great things there at danpatrick.com. We'll take a break. We'll settle on a poll question. Rodney Harrison, the former Patriot, will join us coming up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. We'll try to make sense of what could happen this weekend in Major League Baseball. A lot of drama. Kevin Millar from the Major League Baseball Network will join us. Seth Wickersham has written a new book on the Patriots, Brady Belichick dynamic. He'll join us a little bit later on as well. Before we get to Rodney Harrison, I said this is what I'm rooting for to happen on Sunday night with Brady and Belichick. I would love to see Belichick win because it keeps the story alive. Like, it adds another layer to this. And maybe it evens the playing field just a little bit because Tom, you know, got to win the Super Bowl and then Bill was with a bad team and now he's got a rookie quarterback in there. Just to have Mac Jones beat Tom Brady, have Belichick win a game against Tom Brady, I just think it keeps the story alive and adds, maybe another layer to it. So as somebody who is in the content business, that's what I'm rooting for. And I think that would bring about some interesting reactions after the game. Rodney Harrison should be in the Hall of Fame. He was part of two Super Bowl champion teams with the Patriots. He, of course, an analyst on Football Night in America. And coverage begins a special on-site edition of Football Night in America at 7 Eastern. Rodney, how are you, buddy?
What's up, Dan? How are you, man?
What do you think happens in this game?
As far as, like, just overall?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all week I've talked about the dynamic between Coach Belichick and Tom Brady. We haven't really even talked about the game. But I think it's going to come down to the Patriots defensively, you know, obviously putting pressure, making Tom uncomfortable inside the pocket, and being very physical at the line of scrimmage with the wide receivers and the tight ends. I think, you know, if you think about Coach Belichick, for 20 years he's been sitting back and watching Tom Brady eat up zone defenses for 20 years, you know, and I think that'll be one of the craziest defensive plans to go out there and just solely sit back in zone coverage. I think you got to play aggressive. I think you got to get physical and you got to challenge these guys, take away that short passing game and force Tom Brady to beat you down the field.
Okay. Do the Patriots have the personnel to do what you're suggesting?
Yeah, they have the personnel to do it. They have a lot of veteran players, guys in the secondary, guys up front. This is a veteran-laden defense, and we saw what they did against a rookie quarterback, Zach Wilson. But this is a totally different guy in Tom Brady. But pressure is the key. You get pressure up front, and I anticipate some five-man pressures, but the pressure is key, and Bill Belichick knows that, Dan.
Can Belichick throw something at Tom that Tom would not be prepared for or had not seen before?
Absolutely. And Tom's seen everything, but you still have to understand when Tom comes to the line of scrimmage, he doesn't know what the defense is going to do. He doesn't know if Belichick's going to bring two corners, if he's going to bring two inside linebackers. Yeah, he's seen a lot, but at the same time, you still have to process all that information as a quarterback. And the Patriots do a great job of disguising, moving around, showing that, you know, maybe the middle linebacker blitz or maybe the nickel blitzes. So they do a good job of disguising what they do. And you better believe Coach Belichick, he's going to come after Brady.
Do you think Bill Belichick cares about all of this drama? Can he treat this as just another game?
He always has. I mean, when we won the Super Bowl, when we were 12-0 and 13-0 and 14-0, he is a master at making you focus one day at a time, one game at a time. And, you know, nobody is better suited for this situation than Coach Belichick. And what he would tell those guys on Monday, the first thing he would walk in the meeting room, Dan, and say, the circus is in town. You know, he said, guys, don't answer any questions for anyone else. We're trying to win a football game. All the other Brady stuff, you're going to hear about that all week. But at the end of the day, answer for yourself and take care of your business and do your job. That's what he addressed the team. So now the team is already programmed during the week to stay solely focused on the game and not all the BS that comes with it.
But Tom coming back with all the emotion of those fans, and he's beloved there. They don't begrudge him that he left New England. How do you think Tom processes something like this? Because it's personal for him, as opposed to coach might be able to separate this and just say, I got a football game.
Now, Tom's a pro, and all week he's given nothing but props. And, you know, I mean, he was talking about how much he respect Coach Belichick, how much Belichick was a mentor for him. So I don't think it's going to be like super hard for him to separate. I think he's done a good job all week. As he gets to the game and gets closer to the game, you'll have that normal anxiety and the anxiousness that you have before you play a game. But at the end of the day, Tom is a goon. Tom is a thug. He wants to rip the Patriots' face off their head. He's one of those guys, he wants to win. If he can win by 3, 4, 5 touchdowns, that's exactly what he's going to do.
How would you go against Brady? Let's say you're playing in that Patriots secondary. What would you be trying to do? Or if Coach Belichick reached out and said, Rodney, come on in and talk to the DBs, what would you tell them?
I tell him you got to be aggressive. Like, you know, one thing about Tom is you can't go with his first look. When he's looking over here and he's dropping back 5 to 7 yards, you can't go over there. You have to stay disciplined in your area, in your zone, and make sure you take care of your business, because that first look is just to get you to move. And he's always coming back this other way. And just, you know, stay patient. He's going to make some great plays. You know, stay patient, continue to compete and fight. And that's all you can do.
How good is that Tampa offense, in your opinion?
I think when Antonio Brown back, it just gives Tom that level of confidence. Godwin, Mike Evans, I think it's really good, especially if you get a healthy Gronk. Gronk is kind of that X factor. He's not going to put up big numbers, but he's still a pain in the butt in the red zone, straight down the middle, and he's a guy that can get you those key third down conversions. So Gronk is still a problem, even though he's not 100%.
What do you make of Mac Jones so far?
I think this is a young man that he has what you want mentally. I think he has. I think he's going to be a really good young player. He's starting to really process information. And he said it himself. He said he has to do a better job of being patient, going through his reads, but also believe that Josh McDaniels has to do a better job of, you know, allowing him to throw the ball down the field, taking shots down the field. One thing about Tampa Bay's defense, they struggle in the back end. The deep part of the field, Antoine Winfield and those guys. So if I'm coach, Josh McDaniels, take some shots down the field, because now what people are doing is defenses are starting to blitz Mac Jones and they're starting to come after him 4 or 5 man pressures, just like the Saints did. And if he can't prove that he can handle that blitz, they're going to show it week in and week out. Now he has to deal with Todd Bowles and all the exotic that stuff that he shows. So if he can handle the blitz, that's going to be the key for the Patriots, because Todd's going to show him 10, 15 different looks.
He's Rodney Harrison, NBC Football Night in America analyst, and won 2 Super Bowls with the Patriots. You were there when Randy Moss was there, right?
Yes, sir.
Is there a better wide receiver than Randy Moss in the history of the game?
One guy that I've gone against consistently, and I played with Randy, and Randy was incredible, but one guy is just Jerry Rice. And it wasn't as exciting as Randy Moss, but it was very consistent. And he was a threat, and he caught everything. And his routes were immaculate. And he worked his butt off every single route. So if there's a guy that I was afraid of, when we played against the Raiders and Randy Moss, we kept 3 guys on Randy Moss, basically. We were not giving up the big play. But Jerry Rice is one of those guys. He's a grinder. He'll come across the middle, slants. He'll take a slant. And even though he was a 4.5, 4.6, you know, he'll make a move, beat the safety, and sprint to the end zone. Jerry Rice was a royal pain in the butt. I saw him last week when I was in San Francisco. He still looks great. But I would have to say Jerry Rice.
And you faced him. He was 34 years of age when he was with the Raiders.
Well, I faced him also when he was with the 49ers, because when I played with the Chargers, we used to always have that inter-squad scrimmage. So I got a chance to see him, Terrell Owens. I got a chance to see Steve Young up close and personal, like when they were in their primes. And it was awesome to see.
Terrell Owens is right there. Why does T.O. not get the credit maybe that he deserves? Or feels like, I guess personality, demeanor. But as far as when he got on the football field, can you argue with what he did, how he produced?
You can't, and it was an absolute shame. And T.I., we've had some words, and we don't get along. We don't go out and have cocktails or anything like that. But I've always said that this guy should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer, no question about it. He was an absolute stud. Just the threat of Terrell Owens caused the pressure that he puts on a defense and the things that he could do. Yeah, it was personality. A lot of people or voters didn't appreciate the way he acted and the way he carried himself. But at the end of the day, you have to go by what this man accomplished on the field and what he accomplished on the field. You can't deny he was one of the greatest wide receivers ever. I don't care what stats say. This dude was an absolute monster on the football field. And I just love the way he played. Played really motivated, played tough, and with a sense of urgency.
How concerned would you be if you're a Steeler fan, what you've witnessed so far with Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh, I would be highly concerned, because at the end of the day, it starts with the offensive line. The offensive line isn't great. They can't run the football. They have the perfect running back for their system. You got Najee Harris, a guy that's big, fast, elusive, can catch the ball out of the backfield, yet you can't run the ball because you don't have an offensive line. Then you have Ben. He looks like he's 90 years old. He looks like he's you playing quarterback, Dan. You can't have Dan Patrick playing quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I am definitely concerned about the Pittsburgh Steelers, definitely.
Are you all in on Matthew Stafford and the Rams?
You talking about like going to the Super Bowl and all that stuff?
Yeah.
No, I'm not all in. It's a month in the season, you know, but I'm excited about the Rams. I'm excited for Matthew Stafford to go to it, to have to stay in a program where you've lost the majority of your career and now going somewhere where it's a lot more positive, and you got athletes, you got a good defense, you got other guys that you can depend on, and you have hope. Ain't nothing like that, man. I'm telling you, Matthew Stafford feels like he's a rookie again. He loves football. He might play another 10 years.
Let's say you're in your prime, maybe the back end of your prime. You're like Richard Sherman. Bill Belichick reaches out. Tom Brady reaches out. Who are you signing with?
Tom Brady. Absolutely, because you have a chance to win. You got to understand, Richard's made his money. Like, he doesn't have to go and make an extra $4 or $5 million. He's playing because he wants to play. But, yeah, if Tom Brady calls me up, how do you say no to Tom Brady, especially when you know what level of defense that they have when they're healthy? And to bring all that knowledge, that experience in there, and to be able to talk to the young players and show them and show them different things. Hey, man, that's an easy choice. Plus, let me tell you this, Dan, you're playing on natural grass and you're playing 70 degree weather. Every day you wake up, it's natural grass and 70 degree weather. How could you beat it?
Did you ever witness Brady chugging beers?
I don't think I've ever seen Brady take an alcoholic drink until that when I saw him drunk coming off the boat. Remember that Super Bowl parade or whatever on the boat?
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen him take a drink, but I don't hang out with Tom Brady. Like, we don't go to bars. I don't go to bars, so I wouldn't know.
But did you ever hang out with Brady?
Not like nightlife.
I mean, having dinner or was it just?
Yeah, we talked. No, we talked and we've had dinner and lunch at the stadium and breakfast, and we would talk about family and our goals and stuff like that. I mean, he's a very interesting guy. And let me just say this, Dan, about Brady. I'm so happy for him, because people didn't get a chance to see his personality. Now that you see social media, he's gone to a new spot. All the commercials. Now we get a chance to really see who Tom Brady is, and that sarcasm, that humor, the good looks, just all the different things that come with Tom. And yes, he is a weasel. He is a weasel. You better believe that. But at the end of the day, I'm just happy that he's at a really good place.
Good to see you, Rod. I hope you're well. Hope family's good, and have fun on Sunday night.
Same to you, Dan. You look good, man. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, brother. That's Rodney Harrison. Football Night in America, won two Super Bowls. And Football Night in America, a special on-site edition. It'll be at 7 Eastern. Couple of phone calls in here. Matt in Green Bay. Hi, Matt. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, 6'305".
All right.
Long time, first time. Hey, calling about watching the game on Sunday night. you know, it's going to be interesting. I'm kind of with you on that. I'd like to see Belichick win just to keep the storyline going. But this pales in comparison to when Favre came back to Lambeau. I mean, that was big. And there was the vitriol and there was the hatred and the fans didn't know what to do or think. I mean, you said it before, like, Foxborough is going to be happy to see Tom back. When Favre came to Lambeau, that was must-see TV. This will be interesting, but it'd be a lot better if either A, the Patriots were good, or B, if, let's say, Brady went to the Jets and the Jets were coming to town. Then it would have been a cooler storyline. This will be interesting, but do we really think New England's going to win? Probably not.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt. Yeah, it's different with Favre because, you know, when Favre left, I mean, there was so much acrimony there. This was just Brady wanted to stay, realized they didn't want him to stay, or they didn't want to give him what he thought was an offer commensurate to being the greatest quarterback of all time, that maybe Belichick thought that Tom was washed and it was time to move on. And Tom probably goes, oh, okay, I guess you're breaking up with me, and I'll try to find. Understand this, though, with Brady. He didn't have many offers. He had Tampa. As I told you, the surprise team was Chicago. And he had the Chargers. That was basically it. And I think location played a large role in. He didn't want to be on the West Coast because he has a son with Bridget Moynihan, the actress, wanted to be close with him. And Chicago, I guess, was a possibility. But he's probably watching Justin Fields and going, whew, man, I dodged a bullet there. And then you go to Tampa. He was allowed to have input. I mean, you would think if somebody changes their contract, defers money, that you would at least let them have some input. It's tricky when you allow a great player to have input, because what if you say, no, we don't like that? Like, when do you say, no, we're not going to do that? And I'm sure that if you give Tom that opportunity, he's going to say, hey, we should be bringing in this guy. We should be bringing in this guy. Hey, Tom, should we be cutting this guy? Like, how much input do you want? Because there's also the, we got to get rid of a guy to bring in the guy that you want. But with Bruce Arians, you know, he's able to recruit. You know, Tom should have gotten votes for GM of the year. He brought in players. But you also have to get rid of players. And that's the other part of the equation. Yeah, Pauline.
I'm sure Belichick wishes Brady would have went to the Bears. We would have made Brady completely average, wouldn't have gone to the playoffs.
Yeah.
We could take down anybody in Chicago.
Yeah, then Belichick and his sycophants would say, see, told you.
Exactly.
It was Coach. Coach is the genius behind all of this. Yes, Eaton.
Maybe that's what's going wrong with Matt Nagy. He's like, God, we had Tommy. What happened? He's still recovering from that.
King in St. Louis. Hi, King. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Dan. All right, so in light of the anniversary, or I guess the first time of these two guys playing each other in Brady and Belichick, Dan, I need your help with something, man.
All right.
There is a hill that I have been sitting on since February 3rd of 2002 when New England beat my beloved former St. Louis Rams in the Super Bowl. And so being the fact that I have been a fan of yours since your early days at the mothership, I need you to either help talk me down off of this mountain or I'm going to die on this hill, Dan. And so basically this is what my dilemma is. When you think about baseball players like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and A-Rod, you know, their talent was undeniable. But they have cheating associated with their legacy forever. And because of their actions, they will not be in the Hall of Fame. Even someone like Pete Rose, who can be considered the greatest hitter of all time, something that he did associated with cheating, or not so much cheating, but with the betting, that's part of his legacy. That's part of his legacy. So I need help on this. I need to put on your counselor's hat. I'm going to sit on your couch on your show for a second.
All right. Well, no, I know what you're saying. I know, and this isn't the first time I've heard this, that Tom and the Patriots benefited. You know, did they videotape the Rams in their walkthrough prior to the Super Bowl? Deflategate, Spygate. You know, they've been punished for those. Did inflating or deflating of football help Tom win Super Bowls? I don't think so. Did Spygate help them win a Super Bowl? I don't think so. It happens. You know, teams do this to other teams. Patriots aren't the only team that's ever done this. You know, there are silly rules that got broken there. You know, Brady didn't enhance his body the way A-Rod and Bonds and Clemens did. Because, you know, Clemens' career was over. He went to Toronto. And then he found, you know, a syringe for the fountain of youth. Bonds, they were done. He was done. The Astros cheated. Like, that's cheating. Pete was just gambling, and that's the cardinal sin in baseball. Yeah, McLovin.
But couldn't you use your bullpen to help your bets? So that was the rub, saying, oh, I'm going to burn out this guy.
Yeah. Do I think Pete manipulated lineups? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, Pete had there was a pitcher that Pete would not bet on to win a game. Like, imagine that. So he might have bet against his own team because that pitcher was going to pitch for him.
That's not a good sign when your coach won't bet on you.
No, no. Hey, coach, how do you feel about this game? Not very good. Oh, yeah, Paul.
He's given up 7 runs in the 4th inning, but stay in there.
You got to stay.
Couple more innings.
Yeah.
Got to work this
you
out.
You know, they got a couple of fluke hits off you.
Yeah,
but they hit 2 of them over the scoreboard.
Got to get your confidence back.
Yeah. We'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. 877-3DP show. We'll settle on a poll question, and we'll have the highest rated game. We're going to take out the Super Bowl, but the highest rated, how about regular season game in the last 20 years? We'll have that. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, we got it.
Thank you, McLovin. That's what I was teasing that. So if we
confirmed.
Okay, thank you, McLovin. Take a break. Yeah, back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
They fake a handoff to the right. Burrow with a short throw to the left.
Yeah.
Caught at the 18. Uzama to the 10.
Yeah,
cut
in.
Back, moving a step
yeah.
To the pylon. Touchdown!
Yeah.
Bengals!
Yeah.
C.J. Uzama with great yak. And the Bengals score on their first drive of the third quarter.
Yeah!
Bengals Radio Network. That's your
great yak.
Play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by M-Drive. Compete against the younger guys with M-Drive, a supplement for driven guys that supports healthy testosterone levels, boost energy. Visit mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. Bengals rallied from 14 down. Largest comeback since rallying from 17 down to beat the Dolphins in week 5 of 2018. All right, McLovin, we're curious what the ratings are going to be on Sunday night. The game is on NBC, a standalone game. And what's the highest regular season rated game in the this century?
Okay, before I give you that,
all right.
I'm going to ask you a trivia question.
All right.
Of the top 30 most watched shows of all time, 29 are Super Bowls.
Okay.
Can you guess the non-Super Bowl that made the top 30? You're going to make me cry. You're exactly right. But there is also...
That would be the
MASH finale.
Yes, the MASH finale.
There's a top 40 that was not a Super Bowl that was a boxing match from 1978. See if you can guess that. It was on ABC. It was pre-pay-per-view days.
Mm.
There was one boxing match.
And it was on ABC.
There's nothing significant about it being on ABC, but it was one of the monster fights of the 70s.
How about Ollie Holmes?
You got half of it. Ollie Spinks. Leon Spinks.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know, I mean, Ollie Holmes might have been on HBO, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Try to guess a team that was involved in the highest rated of the last, what we have here, the last 15 years.
Okay. This team had was part of the matchup.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Pauline.
I'm going to guess a game specifically that I think might be there. 2009, Minnesota Vikings, Green Bay Packers, Monday, October 5th, Brett Favre with Minnesota facing the Green Bay Packers. That seems like, in my memory, a big deal.
Well, the only problem is that that's cable. That would have been on ESPN, right?
Maybe.
So I don't know if that would have had an impact on it.
Well, the numbers we're looking at, none of the ABC Monday night games are. So I think you're right. I don't think any Monday night games are not in this mix.
Yeah, because you would have had cable there. I'm going to say the Dallas Cowboys are involved.
Yep, okay. They're one of them. It's a 2019 Cowboys game. Can you guess the opponent?
Steelers.
It's actually the New England Patriots. Week 12, 2019, according to what Sports Radar sent us, it was the most watched regular NFL season game in the past decade with 19.5. It matched another game from 2015, also involving the Cowboys, which was the Seahawks Cowboys from 2015. Now, the only other game, the only other game there was a Cowboys Washington football team, Washington football team game last year that drew 30 million viewers, which was also significant, but not quite matching those other ones. And Patriots Colts in 2007 had a 22 rating, which was also high.
Okay.
So it's funny. It's the Patriots and the Cowboys are all over this list.
Al in Atlanta. Hi, Al. What's on your mind today?
They call me Jovial in Atlanta today. Quickly going to go around the room. Pauly, I lost my eyesight 17 months ago, and this is the first time I can categorically say I don't feel like I'm missing something not being able to see the television.
Welcome to the club.
Seton, as someone who respectfully hates the Bucks, Brady and Belichick, I can tell you I want to see Belichick win this one just for selfish reasons because I don't want the Bucks getting too far ahead of the Falcons.
All right.
Todd, I don't know if you caught it last night, but John Lithgow was on Colbert. He showed you how to really do some limericks, so you might want to get a little research going on that.
I'll have to check that
All
out.
All right, and quickly for McLovin.
And McLovin, I want to ask you, where's your broom at now, buddy?
I told you the Phillies Braves was going to be a sweep.
Yeah, it was the Braves sweeping the Phillies. Thank you, Al. we'll try to make sense of what's going to happen in the playoffs.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.